This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Deadline day might have elapsed last week, but the world of football transfer chatter never really stops. Chelsea renewals, free agent Diego Costa making moves, the Turkish Super League. They're just some of the things on today's agenda as I, Jonathan Johnson, catch up with the busiest man on the internet, Fabrizio Romano. Che Golazo begins right now. Well, what can I say, Fab? Delighted to have you with me. How are you doing, my friend? How are you holding up after the transfer window? It got a bit crazy towards the end there.
Yes, it was crazy. It was crazy. Thank you, my friend. Also, it's a pleasure to be here. Yes, it was a crazy deadline day and deadline week, I would say, because many things happened as expected. But now we have still some markets open, so there are some things to do, and then we will see for January.
All right. Well, let's take it back to deadline day for a start. Which deal came as the biggest surprise to you?
I would say Artur Melo to Liverpool, honestly. I wasn't expecting Liverpool to go for Artur Melo at all, because he's a player that was completely out of Juventus' plans. They spent 3 months trying to find a solution for him in Italy with Roma, in Spain with Valencia, in Portugal with Sporting, everywhere. They were trying to find a solution, and the player was not so convinced. And then in some cases, there was no agreement on the salary. So it was almost clear that Artur Melo was going to stay at Juventus, even if it out of the plans of Massimiliano Allegri. And then out of nothing, Liverpool decided to go for him on loan with buy option, 37 million euros. So it was a really surprising deal. But I think it's an interesting one. I think he needed something different, something fresh after difficult seasons at Juventus. And so let's see how it will be for Arthur at Liverpool. But I think Klopp is the perfect manager to revive his career.
And also, as a consequence of that, you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita left off of Liverpool's transfer Champions League squad. Is there any possibility that there might be a transfer in the offering for either of them with some of the windows still left open?
I think not now, because of the injuries. They have many injuries, and so they need Naby and Oxlade-Chamberlain also for the Premier League and all the domestic competitions. But then I think next summer, Naby Keita is one to watch for sure. Let's see if January or next summer, but he's going to consider his options, and for Chamberlain will be the same. So at the moment, it's still quiet because they need players. It's about the number of players too, because of the many injuries they're having. And then I think next market will be interesting for those players.
Well, now, of course, there's going to be a focus on contract extensions and also potential manager changes as well. So let's go to Chelsea. You've got Reece James extending until 2027. Are there any other contract extensions, currently being worked on behind the scenes at Chelsea, perhaps in Mason Mount and N'Golo Kanté?
I think Mason Mount could be the next one. The Reece James one is really important, I think. It's really important because we had many rumors about Real Madrid, and it's true that they were tracking him, but it was never a negotiation with Chelsea because he's absolutely untouchable. But it was important for Chelsea to extend his contract, to be quiet and relaxed on one of the most important players they have in the squad. So as you mentioned, it's a really important news for Chelsea fans. And now it's time to focus on the other ones. At the moment, I have no news on Jorginho and Kante. Honestly, they are out of contract next summer. But at the moment, I'm told that there are no advanced negotiations yet. So let's see what Todd Boehly, Thomas Tuchel, and potentially the new director of football, if Chelsea will decide to go for it in the next months, will decide for Jorginho and Kante. But as of now, the focus is on Mason Mount. Mason Mount is waiting for a new deal since more than 1 year. He's waiting and he's open to sign a new deal with Chelsea. So they need a negotiation. They need to discuss about the length of the contract, the salary. But Mason Mount could be the next one.
a bit of a blast from the past when I saw this guy's name pop up on Twitter the other day. Diego Costa to Wolverhampton Wanderers. What's going on there?
Yes, a serious possibility because of the ACL injury for Sasa Kalajdzic. Really unlucky. We wish him all the best. It was a really good signing, I think, for Wolverhampton. And then this injury at the first game was really terrible news for him and for Wolves. So they need something. They need something in attacking positions. And Diego Costa is available on a free. He was close to joining Rayo Vallecano this summer. But at the end, the president, the director were not 100% convinced to proceed for Diego Costa. And now Wolves have an agreement with Diego, with his agents, because they already discussed about the contract. It is a one-year deal. So they are ready to sign this contract. But there is an important step, the medical test, because Diego Costa is not playing competitive football since a long time. So they want to make sure that he's in good conditions. I'm told that he's always training at the best level. So let's see how it will go. It will be tomorrow, this test for Diego Costa, the medical in England, and then they will decide about this signing. But it could be an interesting one to see Diego Costa again in the Premier League, in this case as free agent.
Yeah, and obviously fans will remember him from his time with Chelsea. And Chelsea were the subject of some interesting business in January. We've already touched on some of the potential contract extensions, but taking it back, there was a bit of interest in Edson Álvarez. And there was also Josko Gvardiol as well. Is there anything you can tell us about Chelsea's intention to perhaps revisit those targets come January?
I think it depends on how the first part of the season will be. This will be the key. For example, they decided to go for Denis Zakaria, and I think if Zakaria will perform at the best level, maybe they will decide to go for one more defensive midfielder next summer and not in January. It depends on the opportunity. For sure, Alvarez will remain in the list, and so it will depend on Ajax, because they didn't want to negotiate with Chelsea on deadline day, but he's a player who will remain in the list. Same for Sangare from PSV Eindhoven. They are two players that they really appreciated Chelsea, but they were untouchable in the last 24 hours of the market. For Gvardiol, Chelsea made a bid around 90 million euros for Josko Gvardiol 2 days before the end of the window, but there was no agreement with Leipzig. The deal was for summer 2023, so for next summer, not for now. But at the moment, still no agreement with Red Bull Leipzig. They extended his contract, so let's see if Chelsea will return in January trying to prepare the market for the centre-back next summer. But for sure, Chelsea will be busy, I think, in January. They will try to do something smart again. They invested in a lot of young players this summer, and I think they will continue with the strategy wanted by Todd Boehly. So I'm curious to see what's next for Chelsea, but I'm sure that they will be busy.
Well, one of the quirks about the transfer window is there's always a couple of leagues who are sort of left to sort of pick through the leftover transfer targets, and one of the most prestigious is Turkey. Now, there's a couple of names being linked with the Turkish Super League at the moment. You've got Mauro Icardi, you've got Kagler Soyuncu as well of Leicester City. Do you expect both of those players to be on the move, and perhaps any other surprise names, perhaps a player who's been left off of their club's Champions League or Europa League list who might end up in Turkey between now and the end of their window?
I think it's a serious possibility. Now this week they will negotiate, they will try to complete the negotiations. As you know better than me, Icardi is out of PSG plans since a long time, so they hope to find a solution with Galatasaray. The deal is advanced, but it's always up to Icardi. Every summer they have some advanced negotiations, and then they need the final green light from Mauro. So let's see if it will arrive today and the player will fly to Turkey maybe tomorrow or on Wednesday, but they hope to resolve this Icardi to Galatasaray solution as soon as possible. So for Icardi there are negotiations well advanced, and let's see if it will be completed. And for Soyuncu, it's a serious possibility. He was out of the squad at Leicester because they are negotiating with Galatasaray. The player is tempted by this possibility, but it depends also on the conditions of the deal. So there are two serious negotiations. We will see. It's already with Batshuayi what happened with Fenerbahce. They've been really fast because he was one step away from joining Nottingham Forest, that the deal collapsed because Chelsea were busy on many things. Aubameyang, Zakaria, many outgoings too, like Billy Gilmour. So they were really busy, and they Nottingham Forest didn't receive the documents in time, and so the player joined Fenerbahce the day after the deadline day here in Europe. So the situation has been really strange with Turkish market as always, but I'm sure that in the next days for Soyuncu and Icardi it will be clear.
I think we've got a listener question as well about Keylor Navas. Were you surprised that he wasn't on the move to Napoli? Because it was something that I felt we spoke about for, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, and then suddenly fell through. And he's very, very much firmly the number two goalkeeper for Christophe Galtier at PSG.
Yes, he wanted Napoli move, but it is conditions. He has an important salary. Napoli can't pay that salary, so he needed to terminate the contract with PSG with an important payment, and PSG decided not to go for it. So there was no agreement on the termination of the contract, and this is why the deal collapsed. Napoli were hoping for Keylor Navas to be the new goalkeeper, but deal collapsed for salary reasons. So let's see if in January it could be reactivated or not. But as of now, I don't see Keylor leaving for Turkish market or something like that. He was pretty clear in his social media post by saying, I will stay here at PSG, I will fight for my place. Galtier was very clear, saying Donnarumma is our first goalkeeper this season. So not an easy situation for Keylor, but as of now, nothing is changing.
Well, we'll get into, you know, who was sort of the biggest winners and losers of the transfer window after the break. But for you, you know, was there a move that you perhaps expected to materialize that didn't actually happen? I know that you, you were up to the minute on the updates for Douglas Luiz and a potential move to Arsenal, which ultimately didn't come through. But was that the most surprising move that didn't happen? Or was there another that you felt sure was going to happen and then fell through?
Yeah, there were some moves. For example, Cody Gakpo to Leeds too. Cody Gakpo to Leeds, there was a private flight ready for him in Eindhoven to bring him to Leeds. The deal was almost done within all parties, and then it collapsed because Louis van Gaal decided to call the player to tell him, okay, the best way for you is to stay at PSV Eindhoven and then move maybe in January or next summer. And so everything collapsed with Leeds turning down the proposal, PSV turning down the proposal of Leeds, and then the deal collapsed. Douglas Luiz, as you mentioned, Arsenal made three proposals. They arrived around 25 million pounds for a player who is out of contract next summer. At the moment, has no agreement to extend his contract with Aston Villa. And Arsenal were really confident at one point of the afternoon, but then it collapsed because for Aston Villa it was impossible to negotiate. They didn't want to lose the player. So, you know, sometimes the market is crazy. It's about the timing. Arsenal tried to negotiate for Douglas Luiz till the final minute of the market, but it didn't happen. So this is the transfer window. Sometimes at the final minute, you try to do something and it collapses.
All right, picking through the bones of the summer transfer window with Fabrizio Romano, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAYLORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, hugely exciting week of Champions League action to come. Obviously, the group stage getting started back up. Delighted to still be with Fabrizio Romano, looking through everything that has just gone on in the summer transfer window. Fab, who, in your opinion, came out as the big winners of this transfer window, whether that's an individual player or a club?
I would mention Barcelona, honestly. I think the feeling around Barcelona has completely changed. The squad is completely changed. They have completely different levels. So, I think Barcelona have an incredible squad. They are ready to win La Liga. They are potentially ready to win La Liga because Real Madrid are always there with their fantastic champions, but they are there. And also Man City. I think Man City, how they manage the market is something that is always fascinating to me. They are fantastic with how they plan for the market. Julian Alvarez signed in January for the summer. Erling Haaland with the release clause. Calvin Phillips is a very good addition. Akanji is a very good opportunity in the last few days of the window. So they're always perfect and they are never in for a penny buy on deadline day. Never. You will never see Man City moving on deadline day. I think this is something that shows how good is their plan, how good is their strategy. There are many clubs that work it very well, I think, this summer, but I think Man City and Barcelona have been fantastic.
All right, and then when there's winners, there also have to be losers. Is there anyone that you feel had a particularly bad deadline day or transfer window in terms of clubs or individual players?
I think, honestly, for this window, I think many clubs did a very good job. For example, I was expecting something different from Atletico Madrid. They signed now with Molina, some good players, but I was expecting, for example, a new striker. Okay, they have Morata back, and Morata is a very good one. I really like Morata. He's always been very good also here in Italy with Juventus, and so it's a good addition for Atletico Madrid. But I was expecting, for example, a new striker, something fresh in that position for Atletico. I think in England, they did a very good job, all the top clubs. I was expecting a different kind of deadline day by Everton. Everton signed Gueye, okay, they signed Garner from United, but I think they were needing some players in attacking positions. They need goals. They desperately need goals. And so I was expecting Everton to move on some more striker, like Ben Berredon Diaz was an option, but at the end it didn't happen. They had many possibilities, but they decided to stay with that squad, with Mopey as new striker, but I think they needed something different. I think big clubs did a very good job this summer. I think it was a very interesting window also for different countries, like in Serie A, in Bundesliga, did a very, very good job.
You mentioned Serie A. I'm looking forward, kind of in a curious way, to seeing Juventus up against PSG here in Paris on Tuesday. How do you feel that Juve's window went individually as a club? Because for me, I felt that Allegri wanted to make some changes. We saw that he was able to bring in a couple of new faces like Paredes, but it felt to me like it was almost like a half-achieved transfer window. So I'm not expecting to perhaps see the strongest Juve in Paris this coming week.
I think it will be difficult to see the strongest Juve, also because, honestly, they're waiting for Pogba and Chiesa. They are two important players for Juventus. Chiesa is too important for Juventus. Pogba is the player they are waiting for, and they trust him as the new star of the team. So they're waiting for them, and this is why I think it will take some time before we see the real Juventus. Now they are not performing at the best level. This is clear. They also need some time, for example, for Bremer, who I think is a fantastic addition, but he was used to play with a three-back defense, and now he's playing in a four-back defense, so it's completely different, and he needs time to adapt. Angel Di Maria impact was very good. So they have many new players, like Kostic, Paredes, as you mentioned, many, many new players. And so maybe they will need some time. I think it's not going to be easy in Paris for them, absolutely, because PSG seem on a different level at the moment, not just compared to Juventus, but to all the Italian clubs. And so I think it will be a really complicated one. But in general, I think we will see the real Juventus like in January after the World Cup. They will need some time. They will need to have their injured players back. And then at that point, we will see the real Juventus of this season.
On the topic of Juve and PSG as well, obviously PSG moving on upwards of 20 players. You know, that's quite unprecedented for such a big club to move on that many players. Were you surprised at some of the names they managed to get out of the door by the end of the transfer window? I mean, we saw guys like Draxler, Kurzawa, players that people had forgotten about because they haven't played in sort of 18 months, you know, suddenly making these unexpected moves. And, you know, Benfica certainly pulling off two surprises with Draxler and then with John Anthony Brooks as well.
Yes. With PSG, was not an easy job, honestly. They need to change the squad completely. They wanted to sell at their conditions or to offload players at their conditions. That is never easy because, for example, some negotiations were really long because PSG wanted to win in the negotiations, also for players that were completely out of the project. You mentioned Draxler, but it's the same with Juventus and Paredes, with Roma and Gini Wijnaldum. So they were negotiating for a long time because they wanted to win also on the outgoings. And we saw that with Keylor Navas. For example, I think 1 year ago with Keylor Navas, they were ready to agree the termination of the contract maybe in 5 minutes and then to send him to Napoli on a free. In this case, they wanted to do it at their conditions. So it has changed. Now the strategy is completely changed at PSG. It was not easy to sell and offload so many players. They are still working on Icardi, as we mentioned before. So there is still something to do. But it was a really complicated summer for PSG on the outgoings and also with the incomings because they wanted Milan Skriniar till the final minute of the window. But for Inter, he was untouchable. Inter president and owner Zhang said to the board and to the manager that he was not going to sell Skriniar. And this is what happened. But now he's out of contract next summer. And so it's important to see if Inter will be able to extend this contract or if it could be a dangerous situation for Inter in the next months.
I'm glad that you mentioned the final minutes of the transfer window because there was obviously some high drama that went on deadline day. I think a situation that many of us had probably never seen unfold before. You know, some of us who perhaps followed the Premier League saw it a little bit with Peter Odemwingie back in the day. But I mean, to see what happened with Bamba Dieng just a couple of days after the Lucas Ocampos mess between Sevilla and Ajax, you know, is that something that was new for you as a journalist to have to cover in real time, seeing something like that unfold? Because we've heard a lot of different reasons about why it collapsed. There were some injury concerns. The player wanted to stay in France. There was a late bid that was made that was better than the Leeds one. Leeds already had the plane, the travel in place for him. It's just, to me, it just seemed like an absolutely crazy story from afar.
Completely crazy. I agree 100%. It reminded me of Berbatov when Berbatov was close to joining Fiorentina or Juventus. Jen changed his mind on the plane and he joined Fulham, and Fiorentina and Juventus were furious. So we have some of the stories on the transfer market, but Bamba Dieng is a new one. It's incredible because, honestly, I still remember I had a direct call with someone at Leeds. I can't mention my source, of course, but internally at Leeds, and they told me, okay, we're waiting for him. He's flying to Leeds, so we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him to have a medical and sign the contract. And I told them, no, he's not flying there. He's still at the airport. So they were checking, and at the end, the player was not flying there. He was negotiating at the airport together with his agent, of course, with Nice. So it was a crazy, completely crazy story, completely mad story. And then at the end, he had an agreement with Nice. It collapsed because of the medical. They spent the day after the deadline day negotiating, trying to use that deal as a joker to do the deal after the transfer window to find an agreement with Marseille on different conditions, and it didn't happen. So it's crazy. It's crazy what happened. So many twists, so many changes on that story. But this is, I think, the beauty of the deadline day, where everything can happen in positive and in negative, and things can change in 5 minutes. So the Bamba Dieng story has been incredible, honestly.
Yeah, now speaking of changes, we kind of move from it being a player transfer window to a potentially, coaches being on the move. Is that what you're going to be focused on these next couple of months before the transfer window comes back around? Are there any moves that you think are in the offing from what you're hearing, potential, coaches who could be under pressure? I mean, we're looking at Sevilla coming into the Champions League this week. There's a lot of rumors about Lopetegui, whether Pochettino might be back in the mix already. He's been mentioned being linked with the Aston Villa job as well, Steven Gerrard under pressure, Frank Lampard as well. So, quite a few big names that could already be moved on. And of course, we've seen Scott Parker already axed by Bournemouth as well.
Yes, there are many. Also, I'm curious to see what happens with Brendan Rodgers at Leicester, Lopetegui, as you mentioned, Domenico Tedesco at Leipzig is also an important situation to keep an eye on, Favre at Nice. So there are many things to monitor with managers and with new contracts. I think these are the two important things while the window is closed. And then I'm sure that during the World Cup, we will have many rumors. We will start with many rumors because the clubs will start focusing on the January transfer window with some of the opportunities. So I think the market will be a bit longer thanks to the World Cup. End of November, beginning of December, there will be many, many rumors. And as you mentioned, yes, the manager situations now will be the most interesting ones. I'm curious to see what happens with Spanish, Italian, and English situations, but also with Tedesco, because Tedesco at Leipzig, the beginning of the season was really not good at all. And so this is why I think it's one to monitor in the next days.
Well, from one German tactician to another, we've got Thomas Tuchel, a question about Thomas Tuchel and his future. Is there going to be a new contract in the offing for him at Chelsea, or is that something where you think maybe Bollier is going to wait to see how the players respond under his management now? It's a pretty much new squad for him to get his teeth into. Or is there perhaps some early pressure given Chelsea's mixed form so far this season?
No, there is no pressure. They're negotiating. They're discussing. It's already 2-3 months that they're discussing on a potential new deal. So there is a negotiation. It will be slow. It won't be something fast. They will take their time. They will take their time to build the project, to build a new contract, to discuss all the details. But they're already discussing about it. So I think there are good chances for Tuchel to extend the contract. But of course, it depends on the results. It depends on how it will go. But at the moment, there is a negotiation. And I think this is a positive message to Thomas Tuchel because Chelsea trusts his job. Todd Ball is trusting his ideas also on the market. And so at the moment, they want to continue together.
Before we get our final thoughts from Fab, just to say thanks so much for listening to Kegel Air. So please take a minute to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. We're also available as video. So subscribe to us on YouTube and visit us there. Fab, thanks so much for taking the time to have a chat with us. Any final thoughts, anything you're going to be keeping an eye on this week? Obviously, with the majority of the transfer activity now done, but still one or two deals that could be getting across the line.
Yes, honestly, it will be on the Turkish league. It will be on the Turkish league because these Icardi and Soyuncu stories are super interesting till the end. And so I'm curious to see what happens. I'm curious to see what happens with new contracts also here in Italy. As I mentioned, Milan Skriniar with Inter, but also AC Milan with Rafael Leao is another interesting story. We have to see how it will continue because Leao is destroying the league. He's doing incredible, really. He's on another level. And so they need to sign a new contract as soon as possible because he's out of contract in summer 2024. So it's something that they want to resolve this season. And then we will see. It will be a long season. So enjoy Champions League and see you soon here on Kegolas.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Thank you. And see you all soon. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.